order.
Call you order the May 12, 2014 Taney County Planning Commission meeting. This is a public hearing. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Would you please explain the meeting procedures?
I'd like to welcome you to the May 12th, 2014 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, as Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this week. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. If you do wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-in sheet's been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. Each of the Division 3 applications heard this evening shall be voted upon next Monday, May 19th, at the Planning Commission regular meeting. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Are you going to do the exhibits?
Yep, we've got them in the...
Monita, would you bring your sign-up sheet up? Is Mr. Burton here? Would you come please forward, sir? You might upgrade us on the status of any changes you've made, and
sure,
maybe you can answer some of the questions people have.
Okay. I will start generally. This, it's falling under your mobile home park guidelines, as I kind of touched on last week. This is going to be senior housing. This is not going to be a traditional mobile home park where just a bunch of kids running around and everything else. This will be limited to seniors. We have changed the size of the sites. There's not going to be any large mobiles, no 80-foot mobiles in this park at all. These are going to be park model homes and something called micro homes. And I know that's kind of a fine line between the two, but basically, they're all going to be homes under 1,000 square foot, but they're going to be small for seniors. Not looking for a lot of space and trying to keep the lot size down, not looking for a lot of mowing and maintenance. I know we've gone through and addressed the roads. We've increased the road widths to 50 feet. I think that original plat had 30-foot road widths. So every one of these roads on the interior of the subdivision is going to be 50 feet wide. We've increased the green space. I think we're at basically 30% of the property right now is tied up in green space or parking or storage areas. I think the actual green space is just a little over 13%. We've moved all the home sites north of the second draw, so there won't be anything south. There won't be anything over towards Spring Meadows as far as the mobile homes sites are concerned. They're all going to be on the other side of the draw. And that's the bulk of it. I know we've got a specific designated area just for RVs. I know in the last month, just doing the research, RVs are going to be a big concern, and so we've got a complete separate area set for them.
Is that where it shows storage and parking?
The storage and parking up in the middle here is going to be for vehicles and trailers and boats and stuff like that. If you go down here to the southwest corner, it says RV storage and parking.
Oh, okay.
There's about a two-acre spot there, and we've included a 25-foot landscape buffer there along the edge where the houses are.
Does the commission have any questions for him at this time?
Yeah, I do. What size are the lots?
I think he drew these up. He basically pulled off of the old Wilderness Club plat, so they're 40 by 70.
You're not going to live in this park.
Myself?
Yes.
I wouldn't probably meet the requirements of age.
You say it's going to be for retirees.
Yes, sir.
A retiree can leave a junk car out in the middle of the road just the same as a young person.
Yeah, no, and I am going to retain ownership of it, and so stuff like that won't be, and that'll be why the designated parking area, I mean, there's going to be 2 acres of designated area for them to put stuff if they want to put it somewhere else.
Are you going to supply any of the mobile homes yourself and then rent them out, or just going to rent spaces?
It'll probably be a little bit of both. I don't think I'll have very many that I rent, but honestly, I think a lot of this will end up being dual. I think there'll be part of the people that'll be even seasonal. I mean, a lot of these people that I've, in the research I've done, they're not even necessarily here 12 months out of the year, and then there'll be some that will be locals that will be full-time.
I've got another question.
Yes, sir.
What about runoff? Where's all this water going to go when you clean all that land up?
There is a creek, or I say a creek, it's a wet weather area down at the very bottom of this, and it'll all have to be directed to that.
The flood's there now, isn't it?
The only time I've ever seen it top, the culvert that's up there, was when we had that 6-inch rain here a few years ago that took out the bridge on, Lakeshore Drive? I think it did top then. Some of that's just from not keeping it cleaned out and stuff like that, just keeping it maintained. There's a lot of junk from upstream coming down.
How big is your lots again?
40 by 70.
40 by 70.
How big is the trailers going to be?
They're going to be the park models. I don't know if you're familiar with...
How many square feet?
Less than 1,000. I'd say a lot of them would be closer to 500 or 600. I'm trying to think what that Forest Park over there by the charcoal plant back up in there is another similar project that has the same size lots and a lot of those park models and stuff in there. I think there's Fall Creek Resort has a few of those in it, and then the Wilderness Club.
Go on a bike for parking for each house.
I'm pretty sure the regs said there has to be 2 per each house, so there will have to be space on each lot in front of them.
Are you going to put them in front of the house?
On street.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Correct. Is it going to be on the street or is it going to be on the lot?
My assumption is I'll be able to get them on the lot, but I've increased the road width just to make sure there's plenty of space, because I think the setback was 50 feet from the unit to the center of the road, and so we've made the roads wider and made sure we can push those units back and leave enough space there.
So we're talking about a lot that's 70 feet long. It's going to have 2 cars parked in front of it. Right. And the length of the car is what?
20
feet. So this house is going to be less than 35 feet long?
Yeah, that's a lot of them that I drove around and saw. That's what they look like they were. I mean, I kind of envisioned a 30 by 30 area, which gives me 900 square feet, give or take.
Well, you're going to put it 30 by 30, you got 45 wide.
Oh, no, sir. I didn't actually mean I'm going to put a unit in there that size. But, I mean, when I originally started looking at this, the 30-foot depth is what I was looking at for a lot of these units. Yes.
But they're 70 long and 40 wide.
Yes, sir, on the lots. Yes, sir.
But there's only going to be a usable of approximately 50 feet. Because you're going to have cars parked.
Yeah, I was thinking on the 40-foot side, they're going to be 25-foot.
Yeah, right.
If you put 2 cars in front, it ain't going to be much of a yard.
No, and that's honestly kind of part of that. I mean, I'm not wanting to have great big yards.
Are you going to maintain the grass?
Yes, sir. I'm going to maintain all the green space and the grass and the yards and everything in between.
And what is the average age of the... what are you going to have there?
It's going to be retirees, so I'm guessing 50, 55 and over. I mean, it's going to be above. It's going to be retirement age.
Okay.
chief report.
Do you want me to go ahead and give the staff report?
Yes. Okay. Okay, Mr. Nathan, if you'll sit, have a seat and stay handy.
This is case number 2014-3. The project is the Walkington Affordable Housing. The applicants are Nathan and Amy Burton. It's located in the 500 to 600 block of Walkington Lane, Scott Township, Section 34, Township 23, Range 21. And we've got a... The applicants, Nathan and Amy Burton, are requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the Walkington Affordable Housing Project, a mobile home park allowing for up to 141 park model and or micro-home spaces with an associated outdoor storage and parking area and also a separate RV storage and parking area as well. And, of course, this is indicating the storage area here and the RV storage and parking area. The applicants have indicated that the Walkington Affordable Housing Development will be located upon two adjoining parcels of land with a total acreage of approximately 25.64 acres. Of course, the first parcel of land's approximately 19.5 acres, and the second's approximately 6.14 acres. The current application was approved for concept on March 17, 2014, and then on April 14th, during the public hearing, the Planning Commission voted to table the application until today's date, in order to allow the applicant time to revise the submitted site plan. This basically, this affordable development housing, he's looking at approval of up to 141 spaces for park model and micro homes, and that would calculate out to a total density of approximately 5.5 units per acre. The applicants, as Nathan had indicated, have indicated that the development would cater primarily to seniors. The Development Guidance Code defines a mobile home park as attractive land used to accommodate three or more mobile homes that remains under a single ownership. The units within the park are referred to as spaces. The applicant surveyor provided the planning staff with an electronic copy of the revised site plan this morning via email. The Walkington Affordable Housing Development is a proposed mobile home park which will provide up to 141 park model and or micro home spaces with an associated outdoor storage and parking area and an RV storage and parking area. At 141 spaces, again, the development would have a density of about 5.5 units per acre. Per the provisions of Appendix L of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum density for a mobile home park shall not exceed 8 mobile homes per acre. The applicants have indicated that the development, again, would cater primarily to seniors. Per the provisions of the on-site parking standards, basically two spaces are required per home unit, with one additional space for every two home units as guest spaces. The applicants have indicated that they're proposing on-site parking, but have also indicated that overflow parking will be provided via the storage and parking area and also the RV storage and parking area and on the street as well. The area in question is currently served by the Taney County Regional Sewer District. The Taney County Regional Sewer District will require the applicant to obtain a capacity analysis via the sewer district's engineering firm at the applicant's cost. The area in question is also served by public water supply via the Taney County Public Water Supply District 2. Walkington Lane is a county-maintained road up until approximately the location of its intersection with North Fork Road. The driving surface of Walkington Lane narrows, does narrow at a point once it's privately maintained. The applicants have indicated that they will ensure that the private portion of Walkington Lane falls within a 50-foot right-of-way. The staff is recommending that the applicants make the necessary upgrades to a portion of Walkington Lane that is currently privately held and maintained, ensuring compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge standards. A portion of the property in question is also essentially a spillway for Holtz Lake, which feeds into an unnamed creek that eventually discharges into Lake Taneycomo. And the creek itself runs somewhat through here. And this is showing the area of floodplain where it goes into Lake Taneycomo. The staff recommends that a 50-foot wide riparian buffer be established along the existing unnamed creek, which traverses the property, allowing absolutely no development within this buffer area. The adjoining property to the north and east is predominantly vacant and light residential. The adjoining property to the south is Cedarwood Acres Residential Subdivision, with the woodlands at Cross Creek Residential Subdivision being located further to the south. The adjoining property to the west is the Spring Meadows Residential Subdivision, and we've also got property here that was previously approved for a daycare use and also a storage facility as well. Per the provisions of Appendix L, developments that include 24 or more lots or spaces must have a minimum of a 10% total area must be developed and maintained for recreational purposes. This area will count as part of the total open space provided. The revised site plan indicates a total green space area of approximately 3.3 acres, or 12.9% of the total area. The project received a score of negative 12 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 63. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, off-site nuisances, use compatibility, underground utilities, preservation of critical areas and traffic. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this Division 3 request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Road Standards that include plans for the following: sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, land grading permit for all disturbances of over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, improvements with scales of buildings, streets, on-site parking and utilities, a complete landscape and buffering plan showing the location, size, and planting materials for buffer yards, both adjacent to the public rights-of-way and residential properties. A traffic impact study shall be submitted to the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, and an engineering public improvement plan shall be submitted to and approved by the Taney County Road and Bridge Department prior to the completions of the road improvements. And I apologize, I don't know why this is indicating Sunset Inn Road. Compliance letters from the Taney County Regional Sewer District, the Taney County Public Water Supply District Number 2, the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Three, a 50-foot wide riparian buffer shall be established along the existing unnamed creek, which traverses the property. No development shall occur within this riparian buffer zone in perpetuity. Four, prior to the issuance of Division 1 permits, the applicant shall ensure that the necessary upgrades are made to the portion of Washington Lane that is currently privately held and maintained, ensuring compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards. Five, Division 1 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Six, prior to the issuance of any Division 1 permits for mobile home placement, the applicable private roadways serving the mobile homes in question shall either be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards, or the applicants shall post an appropriate surety for 110% of the cost of construction in compliance with the provisions of the Development Guidance Code. Seven, prior to the issuance of Division 1 permits, the applicant shall ensure that the applicable sewer and water connections are in place. Eight, all outside storage shall be limited to the designated storage and parking areas. Travel trailers, campers, boats, and similar vehicles shall not be allowed on any mobile home space, but shall be stored in the designated storage and parking area. The parking and storage area shall be screened on all sides via an opaque or privacy fence. All homes placed within the Washington Affordable Housing Development shall have been constructed on or after June 15th of 1976. This decision is subject to all existing easements, and this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. We already actually viewed the video at the last meeting, so I didn't really see a reason to show the video again. And
yeah, I'm sure the public is familiar with it, or they wouldn't be here. Prior to getting our public up here, I'd like to apologize for us tabling this last public meeting, but we didn't have enough information, and what we try to be is we try to be fair and impartial with both the applicant and the public. So sorry if we inconvenience you at all. Okay, first up is Patty Buckmaster.
Hello, my name is Patricia Buckmaster, Secretary of Spring Meadows Homeowners Association. I am here on behalf of our 100-plus homeowners and the residents of Spring Meadows Subdivision. I would like to bring to the attention of the Zoning Board our strong opposition to the proposal of a mobile home park located on Washington Lane, which is located off of East Highway 76. This proposal would seriously and negatively affect the standard of living we now enjoy. Highway 76 is a highly used road that is already very busy with its load of traffic serving residents and tourists between Forsyth and Branson. Highway 76 is a two-lane road with no shoulders or any way for emergency vehicles to pass or get around traffic. We stand united in protesting the concentration of 125 spaces for mobile homes sandwiched between subdivisions in our area. There seems to be no limits or restrictions of any kind of mobile homes or units which would be allowed in this area and would be incompatible with the existing neighborhoods. The increase in property taxes that would be needed to school all the children that a project like that would entail would put many homeowners out of their homes, as mobile homeowners are space renters and don't pay property taxes as the surrounding homes do. These units would be taxed as an automobile and personal property. A mobile home park would substantially lower our home values in our area, which have already taken a big hit by the recession of the last 5 years. It is interesting to note that property taxes are not always assessed on value, but to the financial needs of the county. You may have noticed that even though our home values have fallen, our property taxes have risen. But how can that be? Because the state and county always wants and needs more money for their growth. I checked with MoDOT, and there are no projects or plans to widen Highway 76 to accommodate the extra traffic that would be produced from such a proposal. Statistics say that the average household owns more than two cars, so you could multiply that by 125, which would be a tremendous increase in traffic. During busy hours, it is already very difficult to make a left-hand turn onto Highway 76, both in the morning and afternoon hours. All the extra traffic would make it very dangerous for our families on a road that is unforgiving even on good days, filled with curves, hills, and vehicles pulling in and out of the flow of traffic. We very seriously ask that you take into consideration the environmental conditions that would be affected by the proposed development that would affect us so adversely. Our neighborhood has already been impacted with the Tantone Industries and a low income housing project at Academy Commons. We would prefer to have new neighbors that live in a single family constructed home, pay their taxes as we do, and maintain a more desirable standard of living. At the last meeting on the 14th of April, I was alarmed to hear the spokesman for this proposed park. I truly believe that their intentions is to have a motorhome park where motorhomes could come and go on a temporary basis as they do at Scotty's down by the lake. That would make it all the more undesirable for us as homeowners to have a more transitory group. His evasive answers to all your questions was alarming. Cars would park in front of the unit, probably adults only. Only single wives, all leads me to the conclusion that their real intention is to have a motorhome facility, which would require less installations for them and more problems for our neighborhoods. We earnestly request that you refuse this permit for so many reasons. We want a better neighborhood and neighbors who will make a positive contribution to it. We respectfully submit our request to the board and thank you for your attention.
Now, if Patty covered some of the subjects that the next speaker or the other speakers are going to cover, she's already covered it, okay? And if you paid attention to the staff recommendations up there when they were on the board, that should answer a lot of your questions, too, what would be required. Next up is Peggy Sanders.
Well, I think she's a hard act to follow. I've never done anything like this before, so thank you for hearing our comments. My name is Peggy Sanders, and this is my husband, Lynn, and we own kind of a unique property on this. Do you mind if I show you where our home
there,
is?
There might be a pointer up there.
I think it's
the flash. This is our property right here. So as you can see, we are in the heart of all of this. So, you know, when preparing what I wanted to say tonight, I wanted to keep it as professional and businesslike as possible. It's hard not to get emotional about it, but there's lots of reasons we're against this particular proposal. Ms. Buckmaster did mention the traffic on 76, and I just want to reiterate to you the way you turn off onto from 76 onto Walkington, that part is right in the middle of a curve, and it's very dangerous when you're turning there on, you know, with just the traffic. So I just wanted to add that point to her already eloquent way of speaking about 76 traffic. That curve there is, and then Walkington itself, as you have said, is not very wide, but it also has deep ditches in some areas. So that additional traffic. It's a private road about where that second road. I probably should just grab this. Sorry. It starts to be a private road about right there. And the agreement is, because our property is here, we have a legal easement onto our property via this road. And it's supposed to be a jointly maintained road with three property owners maintaining that road. So it's supposed to be the owner of this, which was the I don't know who owned it, but the daycare center resided there. I think Arvest Bank owns it now. We own this, and then Nathan owns this, and we have 30% responsibility for maintaining the road. Once the daycare center was there, they did help with cleaning of the brush and the debris, etc. But we've been the only ones that have actually done any kind of maintenance to the road since we've lived there. And so that is one concern, is who is going to maintain this road while this project is underway. It's a private road, so I wasn't sure who was going to continue to maintain that road or if it's going to be part of the county responsibility. I did see in the comments that it's supposed to meet the standards of the road district, and so I'm assuming, I kind of assume that that means that the roads are going to be paved roads, but I wasn't sure what that really meant as far as maintaining, because it is still private property. So I do have some concerns about that and some questions about how that will look at the end of the process. So let's see, we want to try, we already talked at length about the water runoff, maintenance on the road. You know, while that road is being constructed, and I understand now the new plan is it's proposed as phases, phase 1, 2, and 3. And I don't know at what point the road gets widened. I don't know how that lies out, what all is included in phase 1, 2, and 3. So I do have a concern about that. The barrier that was described, I believe it was in item number F, about the barrier around the residences. It looked to be that the barrier was just shown to be against this. I didn't get to look at the site for the, I mean, the new plan from this morning for very long, but right here. But I don't see anything to be a barrier around our residential property right here. So, again, another concern is what is that, you know, going to look like? let's see. The storage and parking facilities for, I know that there's been another one added. There was one here. And now there's one here, and I had concerns about who was going to monitor that, who was going to monitor what sits there, how long it sits there. I don't know. I just had some concerns about that. We had a dump truck sitting about right here for almost 5 years that kept being promised to be moved. As we looked out our door, there was a dump truck allowed to be sit there for almost 5 years. That was an eyesore that finally I was able to get moved, but, you know, again, promises made that aren't necessarily followed up on is a concern in this project for us. Also, what provisions have been made if the work stops, if the, before the project's complete? Who's responsible for mowing and trimming? He says he is, but so far nothing has been done to this road during the time that we have owned this property for 5 years. I think that's about all of the ones. Oh, let's see. You know, and again, we've talked about, you saw the video last week, a large part of this property is very unlevel, and I realize dirt can be moved, bluffs can be moved, and whatever, but our property at this point is pretty much at the top. Now, this part here is somewhat flat, but we kind of sit up at the top, so water drainage for us isn't necessarily a concern because it's all going to run away from us. But, you know, this road covering, I think it would cover right here, would be, you know, getting up through there. But it sounds like that's already being discussed and worked on. So, and then the last thing I have is fire protection. You know, these seem kind of to be, I'm not sure what a micro home is, I'm not familiar with that term, but these all still seem to be kind of tightly packed in there. And so a fire, there's only, you know, one road in and one road out for a lot of homes there. And should one catch on fire, it seems to me like they could just, you know, go up in a very short order with, again, one way in, one way out, and how that looks. Are there supposed to be fire hydrants there? That was another question that I had. And I think that's it. Thank you for your time.
Is this Shane Robbins?
Jay.
Jay.
All right. Well, thank you to the commission for hearing us out. I know that there's a long list of folks that are pretty passionate about this, but again, my name is Shay Robbins. I moved here in 2005, actually, for the real estate market. I worked at REMAX as a realtor for a little over a year before I was offered a job working in youth ministry. During that time, I sold approximately $2 million worth of property and gained a good understanding of the real estate market in the Branson area. And I'm going to come at this from a property value standpoint. We got a hold of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And you know, it's a 98-page document. On page 5, it states the purpose of the code. And there's 3 points that detail the purpose of the code, the third point being to conserve and protect property and building values, to secure the most economical use of the land, and to facilitate the adequate provision of public improvements. And it's my understanding that the commission, your responsibility is to basically support the code. Is that correct? Do you have the right understanding of that?
Yes, to make sure that the code is how things happen.
Okay, good. So, you know, this property, it's really interesting how it lays out. You know, the community, the greater community surrounding this proposal kind of sits like a stadium. And the way the stadium sits, the playing field would be the affordable housing project. And so it affects a lot of our homes' value. My father still works at REMAX. His name is Rob Robbins. And he and I went around, and we drove around to every property that had a direct view of the would-be proposal. And in Spring Meadows alone, there's 50 homes with a view of this. And you'll see property 105 all the way around to 141 has a clear view by 50 homes in Spring Meadows. And what I've done is we just took a low approximation based on sold comparables for the value, the average value of a home. And so we went $100,000 per house times 50 homes. It's $5 million worth of property in Spring Meadows alone. Branson LLC owns the new construction. They've built lots to the west of Spring Meadows. I don't know the exact number. I'm estimating approximately 30 lots at $15,000 a piece. That's just shy of $500,000 worth of property value. Cedarwood Acres, where I live, I happen to be in lot number 14. We have 40 homes with a direct view at approximately $160,000 per house. That's $6.4 million worth of property value. And then, surprisingly, even Cross Creek has property that views it. There's two homes for sale that I put $150,000 value on, and five lots at $15,000 a lot. That's $375,000 worth of property value. So in total, and I'm not even taking into account landowners nor the Sanders home, but those properties there, the total property value is approximately $12 million. And I believe that that's a very low valuation. I can give you the comparables to support that. But my dad told me, and he's a director of the Tri-Lakes Board of Realtors and is well known throughout town. He believes that we will take a 20% loss on our homes. If we were only to take a 10% loss, that's a $1.2 million loss in property value by our community. If, in fact, we lose 20% that my dad has suggested, that's just shy of $2.5 million in property value loss. Sadly, for the Sanders home, and I just hurt for them so much, their home would be unsellable. I think as a community, if we were to take on this loss, we would have the right as a community to go to the Taney County Assessor and plead on behalf of the community to adjust our property value as it's assessed in accordance to our property taxes, and then it's going to take a big hit from a county standpoint. So, you know, I'm here just to plead on your behalf to consider our property value. You know, I'm 32 years old. I've got a house full of four kiddos. We live on one salary. We have one car. We do ministry in town. And a 20% loss on our only investment would be devastating. And so I also want to say that we're certainly not against development. We're just against development that would sacrifice the value of our homes, whether it's a wastewater treatment plant, a mobile home park, or a wolf farm, whatever it might be. We just plead that the commission would fight on our behalf to preserve our property value. So I sure appreciate you guys listening, and would be happy to take any questions if you have any.
Questions?
Okay, thank you.
Adam Martin.
Yes, sir.
My name is Adam Martin. I too moved here about 8 years ago. I own the neighboring house, Touche Robbins. I have actually worked with Mr. Canister, the land to the north, Mr. Thornton, the land to the east, I've spoken with people at Arvest Bank who have the land to the west, Mr. Sanders, who has the house completely surrounding the property, and then all of the Cedarwood Acres residents I've spoken with, and I was the one who provided the petition that was signed, that was submitted for the last meeting. One of the things, I don't want to, again, repeat what anybody else has said. I feel like everyone else has done a very decent job, and Mr. Bob has done an excellent job laying out a lot of the concerns that this would have. The biggest thing that I wanted to, I guess, emphasize is compatibility. We look at, again, Appendix L, the purpose of having these codes and specifically mobile homes, is the policies ensure safe and healthy occupancy of mobile homes and the compatibility of a mobile home development with its neighboring uses. And I really am in strong disagreement that with the land to the north, the land to the east, the land to the south, and to the west, this is not in any way, shape, or form a compatible use. I feel like Mr. Robbins was very conservative with the home values and the average home value in Cedarwood Acres being around $160,000. I know my home value is around $170,000, and it's one of the lower valued homes in the entire, I know there's up to $250,000 to $350,000, and even around the corner, $500,000 homes in Cedarwood Acres. And to put in a 1,000 square foot to 500 square foot micro mobile home unit packed in there almost on top of each other, it would drastically reduce the land value, and it's not a compatible use. Because we look at what we consider a sufficient buffer zone of 25 feet, whether it be a wall, whether it be trees, whether it be shrubs, just again, as Mr. Robbins insinuated, there's an insufficient buffer zone no matter what distance you provide between Cedarwood Acres and this existing affordable housing park. Because from every viewpoint, in any home that sits in this main housing area in Cedarwood Acres, you have a direct line of sight and line of noise and light that would be coming in at nighttime. I don't know what sort of lighting that he's going to provide in the evenings. Currently, Cedarwood Acres does not have any streetlights and or lines that go through. All of it is on boxes on the ground, so it's very visually attractive in that particular neighborhood. And so if there are going to be streetlights, that light would be shining directly line of sight from the homes in Cedarwood Acres into the mobile home park, mobile home park into the homes of Cedarwood Acres. I know that Mr. Burton did mention that this would be a senior development. I don't think that he did mention that there was a age limit that was going to be provided. I'd love to know if there is going to be an age limit that's provided, and then what sort of application process he would have to make sure that that was in fact held together. You know, we did talk about road size. You know, doing the math, if you look at 141 units, which is what he's proposing, two cars-ish, that's close to 300 additional cars on Walkington Lane, which is currently 25 feet wide. I know he's wanting to grow that a little bit wider, and I know that the county has already suggested that the creek bed along there needs to have a buffer zone, but currently where his RV storage and parking lot is, on the farthest south end of the property, that is a creek bed. That whole area down there is constantly flooded and constantly wet. So that property, that section, which is currently 2.06 acres, would not be able to be developed because that is a creek bed. The whole area is constantly underwater and flooded at all times. I did have a question for the commission. That does a parking lot consist of, is it considered green space? Because I know that he mentioned the parking areas. Is that considered part of the 10% required green space, or does he have 10%, at least 10% outside of the parking lots that is considered green space? Are y'all aware of
the way the staff calculated it the staff did not include the storage and parking areas.
Okay, so there's currently 12% without the...
Okay. Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. That was just a question I had. I would love to know also just where Mr. Burton is anticipating to get funding for this, to instill the sewer and the water contracts that he's going to need to initiate this. I spoke with Mr. Mahoney. He's a developer of Branson Creek. The whole additional, I think it's 2,500 acres that they had out there that they developed. He mentioned to me that Branson, Taney County area, has about 10 to 15 years of available housing that's up for sale and or rent currently. So that if no additional houses come up for sale or rent, there's about 10 to 15 years, the amount of people that are constantly moving into Branson, 10 to 15 years of available housing. So we talk about a need of this particular density. I personally don't feel like that at all is the case. I think we all know that there's available housing out there in existence. That's all I have. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you. Sherry Poe.
Every single point I had, concern I had, has been answered. Just the repetition.
Okay.
Thank you.
Matt. I can't read the writing.
Hi. My name is Matt Meadows.
Meadows.
I live at 111 Red Cedar. It's
sorry. Right. That's probably the
pointers up there, I believe.
Oh, and this home right here, and then these lots right here that adjoin the property. I won't belabor all the points that's already been made. The only thing that I'll bring to attention, I've lived in there my entire life. Lived here going on 12 years, and been in the real estate development business for 25 years. In Taney County and Branson. Referenced earlier was Forest Park development out by Treasure Lake Resort. I was involved in that back in the late 80s and early 90s. And one of the things that I'll bring up is I don't know that there's a market for this right now. And so if he's going to develop it in phases, that's what we were doing with Forest Park. And we barely got through the first phase in probably 15 or 20 years. From the time we started that. Of course, it changed hands a couple of times. But the market for it is probably one of the biggest concerns, because if he's going to start this in phases, will he get through that first phase? We've got a lot of developments in Taney County that get through certain phases, and they don't get all the way to the home stretch. I'd hate to see another one of those started and initiated in Taney County. And so I'm not against development. That's how I've made my living the last 25 years. I am for development that makes sense, and you know, if this, I know residential is light right now, but if this was residential, obviously it makes sense butting up against all this residential. I still think there's a market there. I think the market is coming back, and it is stronger. Even though there is a plethora of inventory out there, if he wanted to go in and develop it, you know, as a planned residential community, one of the things that he did not speak about was his CCNRs for the community that actually govern what is going to be done, what mobile homes can be put in there. You know, I don't know if those have been drawn up yet or put into place, but I know that, you know, it would be good to have that, because what happens if Mr. Burton sells out or God forbid, gets hit by a truck, you know, then you got to have something in place to be able to govern those besides just deed restrictions. So that's all the concerns I'll bring up, but I just, because of where my property's at, I have taken a hit on my property value in the last few years since I built my home, and so I felt like it was appropriate for me as a property owner to be able to come here and voice my concerns. I appreciate it.
Jenny Freeze.
Hello, I'm Jenny, and I have actually lived off Oak Ridge since 99, so I was in the home before pretty much our whole subdivision. There were only four of us down Oak Ridge Avenue when we moved out there. Where the yellow triangle kind of looks at the bottom, when Sunfest was built, they wanted to put in storage units there, air conditioned, and I came and I fought that because we didn't want people going up and down Washington at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Where Cross Creek is, they wanted to put in a gated mobile home park, and we fought that because along the back side of it, you have the Canisters, whose property's almost $1 million and anywhere around all the $500,000 properties. Ours, we had it appraised when we refinanced a couple years ago, and it was still at 240. So we fought that because we can't just pick up our homes and move them somewhere else. You know, mobile homes can be. I've been in the mortgage industry for 10 years, and I used to be able to do homes. I used to be able to do single wides, and I used to be able to do double wides. And they took those away, and we're finally just now starting to get back to be able to do those. So are these going to be permanently attached? Are they going to be removing the axle from the bottom? Are there going to be structural engineer reports done on every single one of the properties to make sure it's adhered properly? The biggest thing about those properties is I feel like if you're going to, I have nothing against manufactured homes. I do loans on them. But I think that you can put them in a place to where if a house, a $300,000 house or a $500,000 house wants to build near it, they know what they're getting into. We built our subdivision based on where we are, not what's coming in. And I have my boys with me. It's their life. I don't want 300 extra cars running up and down Walkington, you know, because my backyard literally is just, they can walk out to it. So it's just more of a safety thing for the kids who are involved. And I don't see how 300 extra vehicles going up and down Walkington would be good. Thanks.
Milo Thornton.
Good evening. Sorry I was late and wet. The skies opened up on Branson. I had an opportunity to bat down the hatches. Hopefully my neighbors will not suffer. My property is the pasture in the woods to the east. I guess I want to ask first to make sure I never did confirm that since I was unable to attend the hearing on April, I think it was April 12th, that was the date of my facts because I couldn't make it. Is that part of the file, and did everyone get a chance? Did you get a chance to read my concerns, my page and a half or so? I don't know what else I could add. I've heard some good comments. I've missed a lot of, I'm sure, some good input that you've had. So I too, will refrain from burdening you further. I would ask if, since you've had a chance to read, do you have any questions about anything I touched on in my letter?
Apparently not.
No. I guess there is a plethora of things running through my mind and recently this evening and today. I wanted to share that from my understanding of the first hearing and what's transpired so far, Mr. Burton hasn't had the answers. It appears they didn't even have the questions. The process, to me, appears it's been a burden to the commission in that it's an inconvenience to us all. Those who traveled here before all the time, the mileage, the taking off work, the fret and frustration, if this was sensible, if it was thought out, if it was predictable in any respect, it is very disrespectful that the process here is not mindful, that Mr. Burton hasn't been mindful of the protocol, the sheer magnitude of such a project without regard to the process and to the people in the process just seems to me to confirm my suspicion that he is obviously or additionally not perceptive. And I don't think he's malicious or any such thing, but I believe that he doesn't get it. He doesn't comprehend what he's doing to impact such a large number of people in a large permanent way. This isn't a board game that can be folded up and people get to go home. These people are going to be suffering for a long time in a number of ways, financial and otherwise. And I think that's been made clear to you, but I had to throw it in there. I said I'd be brief. I think that's all I have to say. It's unfortunate that we're here and here again, and there's so many unanswered questions, but there's so many intangibles that I think that I don't think we will or should get to the specifics of does he meet this criteria, that the roadways, the impact on emergency response, and so on and so forth. This is so inappropriate. It is so inharmonious. It is so disrespectful of the existing neighborhood environment. It just boggles my mind. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, and last is Aaron Caddick.
Hi, my name is Aaron Caddick. I'm with the Spring Meadows Homeowners Association. I'm the chairman of it. My secretary did a very good job. We had talked about that speech before today. One concern that I do have is what you had brought up about the flooding and the creek and all that. He said that it had done it to, when we got all that rain a while back. Are we assuming that that's not going to ever happen again? The other concern is I've been doing my job. I'm not a, I don't work with mortgage. I'm an exterminator. I've been doing that for about 15 years now. One thing that I have learned is renters do not really take care of their property as well as somebody that owns it. Is there any going to be any kind of regulation on taking care of the property, not just the grass, but he was saying that 6 months out of the year, a lot of the people won't be there. The other concerns about that is not just grass, but the upkeep of the places themselves. And the storage that's going to be there, are there cars and that stuff like that going to be stored there while they're gone? That's still an eyesore for us. Where I am on North Fort, looks like we're still going to be able to see that storage. And that's mainly my concern is just about the rentals, rental property and all that. Thank you.
Well, Nathan, you're signed up here also. Would you like to speak again or?
Not unless there's
questions. Okay. Okay, this will be... we will vote on this project at our next meeting. 19th, yeah, 1 week from today, the 19th.
And how will we find out about your decision? Can we be present or what did you
Well, yes, you will not be able to address the commission, but you could be here for the vote, yes. Uh-huh. All our meetings are open.
Right here.
Right here. Yeah, and you ladies, you can leave now, or you can stay. But if you leave, please leave quietly and quickly.
Thank you.
Well, did you bring supper?
I kept looking.
Randy?
Steve? Did you bring your supper?
97 o'clock, yeah.
I'd rather give you that place to me.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm done. Huh? I'm done.
What's the potential landscape business?
Well, I just wanted to talk to the group. I've had a couple of folks that have contacted our office about possible proposals, and I didn't know as a group whether or not we considered them a change of use or not a change of use. And so I would rather just bring it to the group.
I'd rather you did.
The first one is a landscaping business. He's got an existing landscaping business, and he wants to store mulch, rock. He wants to put possibly a waterfall and some different things. And it's on the property that used to be the Red Rooster. It actually came through. We had a proposal at one time. The gentleman was proposing a restaurant at the same location.
Yeah, was it Take and Bake West, wasn't it?
No,
this is John DiMaggio's property there at the Red Rooster.
Okay. And,
right there at the corner of the intersection.
Yeah. And basically, it's my understanding now that the gentleman's wishing to, like I said, essentially store mulch and things of that nature, but he also wants to have one employee there, would have mulch, rock,
other, you know, hardscape and softscape landscape materials there.
He's currently got a landscaping business, but he's not working out of that location.
Exactly, exactly. And he does
store stuff there. He needs to bring it by.
And he wants to have the ability to sell it there as well. The biggest concern the staff had, just to bring this up, is, and we've had this issue with these properties quite a bit, there's a sewer line basically that runs right about through this area. Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably won't have a bathroom.
Well, he's indicating that he's going to put in a porta potty since a porta potty was allowed
for the car lot.
The car lot, yeah.
Okay, now I know where we are.
Which didn't fly.
Well,
he could. I
mean, he's still saying he's going to move forward.
Yeah, good.
That's what he's indicating. But I didn't know. Like I said, the code book just refers to a Division 3 permit as a land use change. And so I would rather ask in some of these instances.
That's a vacant piece of property now, and that's a land use change, and it needs to come before the commission. That's my opinion.
One concern that would come would be access to that off of that turn line.
Yeah, there's not a good way off that property.
Business.
Yeah, you almost got to make a...
Yeah, it's not good.
180 degree turn to come in there.
And it gets pretty steep, Beck.
Well, it's not that bad a drive. They ran a gift shop out of there for years.
But the
plan in, Zoe?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike sent me up here. I live for Fulton's Landscaping.
Yeah, you work for Mike?
I work for Mike.
That's what we're talking about now.
And he was going to be available, I guess, if there were any questions also. Mm-hmm.
What's Mike doing, playing golf?
No, the Cubs guys had a meet in St. Louis.
Is this include the Red Rooster building and everything, Bob?
I think essentially he would lease the property, correct?
And sir, would you come up here and address this commission?
This is what I got. Okay. We're leasing it to clean it up and maintain it. We will have the Red Rooster building for restroom facilities only. There will be nothing kept inside for sale or anything else. We will have 4 U-shaped 10-foot by 10-foot, 4-foot high concrete bins, 2 for mulch, 2 for gravel. They will be on the back side of the old existing 248 road. Our main purpose is to advertise and to move our business into town. And once again, to maintain and to keep the property clean and nice, presentable fashion. It's just, Mike lives so far out here, and it's a less of cost to lease and maintain property in town than to drive and move our product all the time from his house to all of our businesses in town.
Does he own the building now?
He doesn't own the building now. He's going to lease the building. The building is part of the lease agreement for the restroom facilities only. There will be no indoor business taking place.
So there is no porta potty going to be brought on
the property? There is no porta potty. We're going to use the pre-existing restroom in the Red Roost, unless a porta potty needs to be brought in, and then he will do that. Whatever would probably be the easiest, at your guys' suggestion. They gave us permission to use the restroom, but if it would seem more fit for us to have a porta potty on site, we would. We're not going to have anything but mulch and gravel, and pretty much just a display for business purposes and to keep the corner cleaned up and more presentable. Next year he probably plans to do more, but this year he just wants to maintain the property and keep a lease on it. So he might do something bigger next year because it's kind of late in the season right now.
Randy, is that the only entrance to the property
right
there? It is.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
They just put a new. They just widened that driveway a month ago or so.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
they made it
I think they've made
quite a bit wider.
Yeah, made it wider through here.
We can still turn left off of 248 coming from the north going south, can't they?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be
yes.
a problem there. So
yeah.
I'd really make sure.
Oh, you can turn in.
You can go either direction, but it's you're crossing three lanes.
Yeah, they've opened that driveway. I don't know that's how much wider they made it, but
it's probably you know two cars in, two cars out. It's a big nice new driveway.
And the dump truck wouldn't have any trouble making that
no,
turn.
No, that's the whole purpose that we've searched out property where a dump truck because probably be like one. Dump truck of, you know, one dump truck of each product will be coming into each bin, and then we'll just be able to use our trailer and truck to load up, and then if somebody calls, our product will be right there to take it out to them.
And okay, the idea here is you're starting a landscape business here.
Yes, sir.
Period. And you're going to do retail on it, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Dave?
What?
That already has been approved for... Hadn't it bought for division one or three it, or whatever?
This actually goes back far enough, and correct me if I'm wrong, it goes back a number of years. I mean, I don't know exactly how far back the Red Rooster...
There's not been anything in there for many years.
Quite some
John DiMaggio had the Red Rooster gift shop in there. There had many other businesses been involved in that.
Vernon Hazel built all of these gifts.
So it was a commercial building at one time.
Yeah, at one time, but it's been vacant for a long time.
But it's remained vacant for
there.
quite
this
some time.
This comes up to the question again, do we need to revisit each one of these when they change uses? We've talked about that before.
Well, that's where there's somewhat of a judgment call. It just speaks to a change of use. I mean...
that goes back to my suggestion and rule that we once had that it went away when it wasn't in use for a period of time. But that rule is no longer viable, so I understand.
I got a question. You got two lines there, the black line and that highlighted. Is that a different right-of-way or setback that's...
Well, I actually noticed that myself, and I kind of recall this from before. I think this additional property, if I remember correctly, was actually purchased so that they could make the improvements to the drive. And that's one of the things I actually did notice. It's showing two separate property owners currently. Now, I don't know if that's correct, but it is showing that as a parcel.
Is John's son still on that?
Drawing a blank on the owner.
Who are you renting from?
We're leasing from the same guys that own the Cinex. I'm not sure the name. They own that. They own the Dairy Queen down the street from this one here.
I think
here.
It's still the same folks.
Yeah, they own
it's
the,
under an LLC name.
It's how we...
Yeah,
it's how we came about it because we get gas from them every morning, and they got to talking to Mike and asked him if he wanted to lease that property to maybe put product and maintain the property more or less.
What does the commission think? Think it's now commercial, but it's different commercial use.
And it's been vacant for a number of years.
Does that really matter?
Well, it's pretty much commercial all the way around. If there's no private.
Yeah. We'd probably approve it if it came along.
I mean, it's changing the use, but it's still, it's like when they were selling antiques and stuff out of there. There was stuff sitting outside then.
Yeah,
I think there was a light. Wasn't there a light place?
No, that was next door.
Those were in this one right here.
The next one. But still, it was outside sales thing in the next lot.
Yeah, and I assume there will be like a skid loader or something like that parked.
Yeah, we're going to keep his skidster. We've painted it up nice, and it's going to, you know, for advertisement purposes. We put a new advertisements on our truck, and he's going to have some signage. But it'll probably be on the side of the concrete barriers for the mulch and stuff. We're not going to put no great big displays. We just, we just want to advertise some way. That's a great advertisement spot.
I agree with that.
Well, you'd be allowed an off-site sign.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any pre-existing structure for signs or anything, but, it's definitely going to be.
Well, you're allowed one. You're allowed on-site.
West of that building, they filled up Holler Inn with bunches. I don't know where that all comes from, but blocks and just west of that.
Well, do we need to take a vote on this, whether we need to bring this back up in front of the commission?
I think my biggest concern, being very open, was if a decision was made one way or the other, I didn't want to bring this in front of the Planning Commission if the commission didn't feel that it required a Division III, basically.
I mean, you know, it's,
or vice versa. I mean, I just felt that it was probably best to...
One thing we do need to consider about if we start setting a precedence about this and not bringing it before the commission again is, and just say commercial, is be a strip club next month or something like that.
No, they're real good, yeah, them.
Well, and I didn't know, I mean, on this one, we did require a Division III previously for a restaurant, but I didn't know how the group viewed this.
Well, what I'm saying, my idea is that you don't know what, if we say that commercial is commercial and they don't have to come back in front of us, then who knows what will happen to the stuff. So your initial question was, Bob, should we bring this back in front of the commission or not, correct?
Is
or
this
should it just be okay as commercial as commercial?
Essentially, yeah. Does the commission wish to hear this as a Division III request? Or
I think it should come back in front of the commission anyway.
Okay, let's take a vote on it. All those in favor of bringing it back in front of the commission?
On any commercial change.
On any commercial change, raise your right hand. All of those that think contrary? Four to two. What are you going to do, Bob? What do you think? I know I'm the boss.
I lost.
I was going to say, I think.
All right. I would say commercial is commercial in this specific spot.
Are you going to put any requirements on them if they have to turn the water on? They have to use the sewer? You're just going to let them be.
Well, it has to be a working sewer if they're going to use the use that facility. But that would be any kind of rental, wouldn't it? I mean, if we got sewer run underground, they're going to be in deep trouble.
Yep. Well, and actually,
actually, there's water to that property.
There is.
Yeah. But if it's cheaper and acceptable. Just to put a porta potty in,
water to the property and there's sewer to the property, we shouldn't allow a porta potty.
No. Yeah. Okay, and since it's going to be retail,
okay,
and you're not going to build a building around it or anything, so
no.
It just needs to be.
No,
my opinion, they need some facilities that are there.
Correct.
There's a 2-inch water line to that.
Yeah,
that didn't have the.
That's Water District 3. I know a little about that.
Yeah.
Well, while I'm here, just because it's close, maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but there's a property here that is a dry cleaning establishment that was on a holding tank that actually did blow out the holding tank, and we have convinced them to finally connect to municipal sewer, and the city of Branson's going to annex that in.
So that's the Branson line.
So literally the city limits here, and so this is all in, and then this area is out, basically. It's one of those island, it's kind of an island area where this is out, but everything else pretty much around it's in.
if they hook to the sewer, they'll have to pay the exaggerated rate on sewage, or they'll have to go into the city.
Yeah, they're annexing in.
On this property?
No, not on this one.
The one up next door.
The one.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah,
one next
this,
door.
This one.
And then the one next door to that's not on the water district. They drill their own well.
Yes.
Okay, so we can let this gentleman go by saying that they're free to do what they want to do with it. Is that correct?
But he still needs to get a permit, right, to open this particular business? Or not at all?
I mean, really, per
thought that's what part that we voted on, but then they didn't have to. That's
well, he doesn't have to bring it. I mean, he just needs
not
to.
Red board, yeah.
Yeah. No, not
basically,
at all.
It.
And he doesn't have to get a business license because he's not in the city of Branson.
We're going to make them happy. Guarantee you. Which I think that's no big deal.
That's in the city limits of Branson.
Huh? It wouldn't be here. But
no, it's not the city limits of Branson.
No.
No.
They wouldn't be coming to us if it was. I know that Mike did acquire his business license anyways the other day.
He did what?
He did acquire his business license. I mean,
he has to have a city business license, yes.
Yeah.
Because he works in town, but not because he operates a business there.
Okay.
Yeah, because that particular corner is in the cast.
My thought, I mean, when you look at Division 2, it's basically saying new commercial, industrial, or institutional uses that have been issued in Division 3.
No licenses required.
Oh.
I didn't remember how that read. I've read that, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it just says new commercial, industrial, or institutional uses that have been issued at Division 3. Now, in this case,
yeah, but the property has been issued, but not the use.
I think what you guys are not realizing, this is a hot potato. It's on a busy corner. It's a hot potato, and it needs to come through, in my opinion.
I know we'll be receiving some calls from.
That's my call. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I think if you don't bring it in front of the commission, you're going to have neighbors around there that's going to be.
But that's.
Calling Bob.
On the other hand, I believe in the right to vote, and I've been outvoted, and I will live with that, too. So.
Well,
I didn't vote.
I believe in the right to vote.
Well, you know, you're not required to unless you break a tie.
I throwed it out there that there may be some people around there.
I mean, to me, it's no big deal to bring it through, other than a little bit of stuff. But, I mean, you know, it's not a great big deal.
And you're basically dealing with a homeowner that wants a mulch or something like that, correct? You're
right. We're not talking about big trucks every day. Yeah. If somebody pulls up with their pickup and they want to load.
Put a retail sales on a hot corner. Right. There's going to be traffic in and out of there. There's going to be business, or you're not going to rent it anymore.
Of course.
That's the way the mule jumps.
Can I change my vote?
Want to do a revote?
I don't know whether the commission or our honorable chairman has declared or what. That's up for him to decide.
All right, let's have a revote. All those in favor, bring it back in front of the commission. Raise your right hand. One, two, three. You voted for it?
Yes.
And that was how many?
Four.
One, two, three, four. Okay. You have to come back in front of us, so
okay.
See him. Have your boss or you see him about setting it up for a concept.
Should I might call?
Yeah, that's fine. I think he was going to call in the morning anyway, or when he gets a chance tomorrow.
All right. That's all I need to know.
Okay.
You guys know me?
Some public here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, right. Thank you.
Thank you guys for your time. You guys have a good night.
Yeah. All right, what's car lot 222 Coffee Road?
The next one, it's not one to open. You're going to be very familiar with this one.
Coffee Road?
Anybody here?
I think I already got
this. This one, at one time, it has the appearance. At one time, it was a Mexican restaurant. It was also
one time a post office.
And it's basically at this point we've got a gentleman that wishes to utilize this as a car lot. So kind of a similar situation in some ways.
On shape.
It's been vacant, I don't know for how many years, to be honest with
you. A couple of years.
They're
going to have to dig the tanks up pretty quick if they don't do something with them.
Yeah.
They expire.
It's been vacant as long as I've been here, so I know it's been vacant three. Because I drive past it every day. So, but essentially the gentleman's wanting to lease the property to sell pre-owned cars or used cars.
What road is that on? I'm not familiar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
160 out in front.
Yes, right on 160.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, down your neighborhood. Yeah, here's the U shape or the horseshoe curve in 160. Yeah.
I know exactly where that is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right after you go past the creek.
Yeah.
That's Kevin Alda's construction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's right next to it, right here.
Yeah. And what do they want to do there?
They're wanting to use it for used auto sales. Now.
Well, they're going to have to come from the commission.
Yeah. They
got one just around the corner.
Yeah, a big one.
We're going to get in competition.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, all the changes coming to the front.
Isn't it? Man,
but the way the census is, it sounds like with the commission, they're going to have to bring them. I mean, you're going to bring them all in front.
Yeah, I make a motion we bring it in front too.
I'll
second that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it on. All those in favor say aye.
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 And how about old Ray?
What we really wanted to talk to the group about there is the staff went ahead and purchased flowers. The total cost was $50, and we were just going to ask as a group if everybody wanted to split the cost of.
I'm in.
Sure.
Sure.
I'll put mine in. Will
you put mine in too?
Huh?
Will you put mine in too?
Yeah.
And I tried to go to that visitation, and I spent 2.5 hours looking for it. And where in the world was that?
Greenlawn East.
I'm not kidding you. I went up there and tried to find that place, and I spent 2.5 hours looking, making phone calls. I was going to the visitation, and I never did find it.
Greenlawn East is on Glenstone, just as far as you can go until you get almost to I-44. It gets to one way.
They told me you go to past Sam's, turn south on Blackman Road, and come back in there. And
I've had two cousins buried there. I know where I've been there.
Put a wheel in.
Depends on who. First time I went, I couldn't find it either.
Everyone else is going to go in.
I think everybody's going on.
Yeah. But it's as far as you and Bob can go on Glenstone. Just let me know what I owe you, and I'll be glad to pay.
I haven't asked everybody.
I'm ready to pay what you owe me tonight. They told me I want
money. I got a little money with me tonight.
Beautiful.
Let's see if they can take it. Once you got one of them push
buttons. Well, you talk to everybody else in staff.
Okay.
And tell us a number. And
it's going to be around $5 each.
Can I just pay you now?
Can I pay you now?
He doesn't say.
Yeah, that's fine. It's going to be really close.
Will you take a check?
It's going to be really close to five. It's essentially.
Wait a second. You want to take the money?
Yeah, you want that right. Cookie, please.
You're an extra $5 on your money when you go
outside.
I don't know that it is.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if we can just give it back. What
no, I don't. I got three.
Anybody else got two?
I better throw mine.
No, no, no.
Yeah. Well, you need
to be in trouble again. Now he wants to borrow $5 and
pay
it.
My billfold's in
no,
my
I
car.
Pay.
Now.
I didn't pay.
Whoever gives me $5. Here, I got $5.
Put $5 or whatever for me, and I'll catch you at your house.
Hey, put $5 for me, too, and I'll catch
you
outside.
Yeah, I'd
like to have you in my
house. As bad as me. Put $5 in for me and just try to catch me.
Just keep down there. They never glide. I don't have my billfold on. Darn. I don't bring my gun or my billfold in.
I'll catch. I'll have Jenny to catch John.
How you going to do any business?
Back to the commercial deal. We talked about that last summer quite a bit.
Yeah.
Is there any way to regulate that a little bit on the... I mean, without looking at every commercial change?
Well,
it's just like the aluminum can.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
me,
but to me, when you do a change, it's if you've got a business there, it needs to be written up in a regulation. But if you do a business there and then you want to change the nature of your business and it falls under the same general deal, then you change, but you don't let something sit out there for. What are you going to say? Well, it's set there 3 years. What are you going to say? It's set there 30 years? Okay, just let them. No, I don't think so.
I hate to bring it up. Can I bring up one more?
Well,
yeah,
sure.
Just to be safe.
We're adjourned.
Are
you still talking?
Don't be typing.
What's the name of the place that right at 160 and 65?
Who gave me?